B-Pod Studios.
No one says it like they do.
What do you mean?
Well, what do you mean?
Felger and Maz.
I'm just making it up. Totally making it up.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Here we go, Maz.
I'm in.
I think I'll go for a walk outside now. The summer sun's calling my name.
Hip hop.
I hear you now. I just can't stay inside all day. I gotta get out. Get me some of those rays.
I don't know.
Everybody's smiling. Sunshine day. Everybody's laughing. Sunshine day. Everybody seems so happy today.
I don't know.
It's a sunshine day.
I think I'll go for a walk.
So the first time we saw Bedard in 2 years was yesterday. Now, Perillo graces us with his presence in our Town Fair Tire Studios. How you doing, Pip?
Unbelievable.
Very excited to be
here. Oh, it is very exciting.
I am. I'm excited to be here. It's been a while.
Double P in the house.
I think everybody's kind of tired of the Zoom calls and whatnot.
Oh, definitely.
But we can do press conferences like that. That's no problem.
Is 11 wins too high of an expectation on this team?
I think so. I think it might be a little high.
Vegas hasn't been, so the draft,
nine and a half.
We're backed by DraftKings, nine and a half. I mean, that's the Vegas total.
But you're at 11.
I'm at 11, so I mean.
So but, you're well over the.
Is a game and a half well over?
I think so. When you're only playing 17. Now, I do think they're better in a lot of areas from last year. I think they're deeper overall. The front seven, I think, has a chance to be pretty good. I worry about the secondary like everybody else. We've been talking about this the last couple of times we've spoken. I keep saying I'm concerned about the Gilmore thing. Most of my colleagues say, don't worry about it, it'll get done. And here we are. I think that's an enormous problem because I think the trickle-down effect is apparent. They at times had problems covering guys during the summer. I don't know if you guys were watching.
Yes, we were.
I mean, the Giants must have dropped five passes in the first half the other day. That's going to be something to keep an eye on. That front seven better be really good to get pressure on the passer so it's not a problem.
And now that they've decided to go with Mac Jones, shouldn't they have done something more at wide receiver too? Because that's an area I thought was thin, but now that they're going with a kid, like that feels like they should have done something else there.
Yeah, and that's part of the thing with Mac Jones. And I am a believer in, you know, I don't care how good the rookie quarterback is, there are struggles. And there will be struggles for him. I was really encouraged by a lot of what I saw, but I don't think he has a ton to work with. I think it's hard to say we're going to line up and run the ball and then hope that our rookie quarterback can make the plays when he needs to. Well, what are those plays going to be if you want to run the football? They're going to be third and longs, right? That's when you're asking him to make a play. That's what made Brady so special. In 2001, no, he didn't throw it all over the place. And people look at the numbers and we're like, well, you know, he was throwing for 200 yards most weeks. But how many times, Mike, you and I would sit there and watch, and it was, you know, down four with 5 minutes left, third and nine. Got to have it. You don't have it, you're probably not getting the ball back. He had it every time. But when you play that style, there's very little margin for error, and I think a rookie quarterback like Mac Jones is going to have a small margin. I'm encouraged. I'm really excited about the fact that they're doing this, and they're just ripping the Band-Aid off and doing it all at once. But I think really, I think we talked about it last week. It was the only move to make. He was better.
Let me tell you real quick that Paul has brought you, most importantly, by Devlin Solar. Offset your energy bills and power your home through a blackout with Devlin Solar. Call 800-818-5641 or visit devlinsolar.com because it is sunshine.com.
Yep, it works perfectly.
It is a perfect sponsor for it. Devlin Solar, the most trusted solar company in New England. My system is at home right now. It's cranking. It's not sunny, but it still draws some power from the lightness out there. My batteries are filling up as we speak in case we have any sort of power outage. So that's it's a great little thing. Devlin Solar. Do you have a thought?
That's the most perfect Felger thing ever, huh?
Way up there.
In case we have an outage of some sort.
Oh, yeah, no. The apocalyptic
you
scenario.
Can see Murray, he's excited.
You have a thought there, Mess?
Yeah, no. So, look, I'm curious as to were you caught off guard or is everyone else with this thing?
Yeah, like I said, I think we talked last week, and I said to you, if you're asking me what my choice would be, it would be an easy one. But I thought all signs were pointing toward Cam Newton being the starter on opening day. And then any lingering doubt that I had, I thought just like Zoe did on Sunday. He trots out there to start the game. I just find it odd that your starting quarterback has never started a game of any type as a professional. The first time he will start a game his opening day. And I thought that was a little odd. So, yes, I was surprised by the news yesterday, but I think it's the right call, and it's definitely the call I would have made, not that that matters.
Paul, if there was a turning point, when was it? In your mind, when was it?
Yeah, I think I had mentioned that I didn't think there was really much of a chance that Mac Jones would be the opening day starter until that COVID situation. And this is where I sort of fall on both sides. I don't think that Cam Newton lost the job because he's not vaccinated. But I do think part of the reason he lost the job was because he had that situation that allowed Mac Jones to get all of that time by himself. And I think Bill Belichick got to see what all of us thought we were seeing. He's got it. He can do this. It's his show right now. And I don't think he was great. There were ups and downs. That's the other thing. He was great on the Wednesday, the first joint practice. He was just so-so on Monday and Tuesday. But you could see it. You could see the confidence, the way he moved around the field like it was his team. He moved and operated as if it was his team. And I think Bill may have seen something there. I don't know this for sure. But I think that might have told Bill, you know, what everybody else had been seeing, he's ready.
That was the day of the high five.
That's it. Why do you think Bill handled it the way he handled it all through camp, and especially the last week after he may have had his epiphany?
Do you guys agree with me that that was a little odd?
Yes.
Because I haven't really heard much talk about that. I just feel like, yeah, the reps were split, and that I understand. But he never really allowed Mac Jones to be the man, except for the days that Cam wasn't there.
And Mac Jones even expressed frustration the first day that Newton came back, talking about the flow without, you know, having to split the reps. And so why did Bill handle it the way he handled it from that point?
This is why I'm sort of wondering if something happened between the end of the preseason on Sunday and then cuts on Tuesday. And I've been asking, and I have nothing for you. You know, I'm not Jimmy Stewart's phone. Nothing. I got nothing. But just in talking in the office with Fred, you know, Fred Kirsch, my boss, and the guys there, it doesn't make any sense that Cam is the starter. And then he starts that last game. And then all of a sudden, 2 days later, Cam is not only not the starter, but he's not a Patriot. So I wonder if something happened in the meantime. Maybe Bill said to him, like, listen, you know, we're gonna use both. We're gonna use the kid. He's pushing. We're gonna find some plays for him. And Cam didn't like it. Or maybe he told Cam, listen, this kid, he beat you out. He's gonna be the starter, and Cam didn't like that. I don't know, but something I feel changed from Sunday to Tuesday.
Wouldn't be surprised one bit. What's a realistic expectation for Mac Jones as a rookie? You can give me a player comp, you can give me a stat, you can give me a answer that however you want. What's a realistic expectation for him?
I don't know about a player comp, but I do feel like he'll get better as the season goes. And that's what I've seen in practice. Like when he has bad periods of time in practice, he generally puts it behind him. And I think he's going to get sacked a lot. I think he's going to make some mistakes.
Can that knee hold up if that's going to happen?
Yeah, I mean, I'm a little worried about the knee. Some people have laughed at me for worrying about it. They don't think it's a big deal. But keep in mind, I work for the Patriots. So the people telling me not to worry about it are obviously vested in the situation. But I don't know if you could say, like, well, he'll be like Justin Herbert or he'll be like Joe Burrow. I don't know if he's that skilled. But I expect him to get better as the season goes, and by the end of the year, I expect to be really excited about the future.
Why do you expect him to take a lot of sacks?
Because I think young quarterbacks tend to, especially ones that don't have a ton of mobility.
Because he'll hold the ball, is what you're saying.
Right. Like I thought Sunday night, and this is a little bit of an unfair comparison because the sacks that he took Sunday night were behind a line that he's not going to be behind.
Right, exactly.
I don't think the starters weren't out there. But I also don't think he was under a lot of pressure Sunday night. I don't think those sacks were like, oh, wow, they're really coming after him. I thought his initial read was taken away, and then he held the ball, to Tony's point.
I think they'll protect him, Paul.
I do, too, but I worry if, you know, like Miami opening day, you got Howard, Byron Jones. You got some good – that's a pretty good secondary. I think Brian Flores has a pretty good idea of how to approach defense. I think going against a rookie quarterback, I think he'll probably have some things. And maybe there'll be times that they take away what he wants to do. And then, you know, I don't think he has an avenue really to escape. I don't think he's really shown tremendous mobility. He subtly moves around the pocket, reasonably well, but I don't think he moves all that well. I think he'll take some sacks. I'd rather have him taking the sacks than putting the ball in harm's way.
Rookie quarterbacks take a lot of sacks.
Do you not think that?
Oh, no. And just to do it, because it's an interesting take on it. I bet you're right. And I just went to look at Tom Brady's stats. Rookie year, 41 sacks.
Jesus.
And a crap ton of fumbles.
Okay, here are Brady's first. Here's Brady until the knee injury.
Just how many is a crap ton?
12? I think he had like 12 fumbles as a rookie, didn't he?
It doesn't show in my
like a Baker's dozen.
I'll look it up.
But anyway, he was Brady, so we got them all back.
Listen, probably.
Sacks for until he hurt his knee. 41, 31, 32, 26, 26, 26, 21. And they went down. And he came back then in 09 and took 16. 25, 32, 27. He had a couple years there later where he got sacked 40 times. But last year in Tampa, only 21.
41 times as a rookie in, 14 games.
That's right.
Right, so that's what I'm talking about. And I think that that's a pretty good comp in terms of style. I don't want to get into the
Brady thing. That guy gets rid of the ball and reads the defense better than any quarterback in history, and he took 41 sacks as a rookie.
12 fumbles.
And I just feel like... That's what you're talking about is like, okay, so I'm supposed to hard play action this way, and I'm going to have the tight end down the seam the other way. Oh, wait a minute. He's covered. Now we have to hold it. Here comes a sack because they don't process it quickly enough. And I don't think that's, an indictment on Mac Jones, but that's what I'm expecting.
Herbert, 32 sacks last year. That sounds good in comparison. 41 sacks by Brady the rookie year. Holy crap.
Yeah.
All right.
And look, Mike, all joking aside, the ball will come out. Like, Bill's not going to like that. and I'm just saying that when a quarterback gets hit, the likelihood of a fumble is higher than it is with other players. Brady fumbled 36 times his first 3 years. 36?
All right, real quick. Did I hear you say earlier during an update, Murray, that they re-signed Hoyer to the practice squad?
Correct, yeah.
So
I have no idea. This is the short answer to that question.
So what the hell's going on here?
Yeah, I mean,
that's fine for practice. What do you do on Sunday?
I wonder if they're just sort of doing some manipulations with some of these spots. I know they claimed a player off waivers from Miami, Malcolm Perry, today. I'm still expecting at least somebody. N'Keal Harry, has anything come on that, Jim?
Nope.
I'm expecting him to probably start the season on IR, and that opens up a spot maybe for Perry, maybe not. I guess early in the year you can put Hoyer on the practice squad and activate him a couple of times, but you're limited how many times you can do that. Stidham is not eligible to come back until week 7, just like Gilmore. They have to have somebody else. You can't just have one quarterback on the roster, for the entirety of that 6-week period. So something's got to happen.
Okay. Calls with Paul Perillo and Sunshine.com right after these words.
Duggar Fast. Sports. Boston's home for sports. 98.5. The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger and Mass.
Mike, you there?
Yeah, good. Hold on, I have a landline. This is my landline, yep.
Now, more Felger and Mass on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
When it came to Cam, was there a desire to have him to stay with the team in a backup role, or was that never presented as an option?
Yeah, I'm not going to go through all the different things that with any player on that, so we'll just leave it the way it is and go from there.
Was that a difficult decision to make, Bill?
Well, I don't rank them. We make decisions and then we execute them and go on and take it from there. So
that little question answer right there. So as much as Bill is still covering for Newton on COVID, and that thing I think still is holding, I was surprised, and that's where it stood out, that I didn't get nice words from Bill on Cam Newton on the way out the door. I thought for sure. And I'm not saying it would have been the Garoppolo treatment, Stacey, let me take this, and then he goes on for 4 minutes about what a great player he is, and he's going to a good place with a great coach, and, I wasn't expecting that, but I was expecting the obligatory Cam came in, no one worked harder than him, He has a lot of respect, from us and everyone in the building. And I was just expecting at least a paragraph of nice things from Bill to Cam on the way out the door. I was sure I was going to get that today. And that was the door. That was Mike Girardi opened the door. Was that hard for you? Was this a hard decision for you? Well, I'm not going to rank him or anything. Ooh, I said, oh. So I think there is a Belichick-Cam thing, and he told it to me right there. But he's still not going to call him out on COVID for whatever reason. But to me, that was a chance for him just to say one nice thing about him, and
well,
he didn't.
Well, so you know what? Yesterday when we brought this up, this press conference that he was going to have, I think I even said to you at one point, oh, he'll say something nice about Cam. And until you just said that, I'd forgotten about it.
Not one word. He didn't say one thing.
It's a great point.
He didn't say one thing.
It's a great point because with the way the thing has gone the last year, you would think that Bill would just say, I just want to thank Cam for what he gave us. And he didn't say any of that.
All the bouquets he's thrown his way over the last year plus and not one word?
So it ended bad.
I think it did. I think Paul might be onto something.
And that's why, you know, and I went right in and, you know, Fred and I talked about it a little bit more. And I was like, are you surprised that he didn't say anything? And he has that has been his normal MO, not like Jimmy. That was a little special. But he has done that to a lot of veterans.
Most
that
veterans.
In, even guys for a short time.
Reggie Wayne got a little kiss on the way out the door.
You know, we're really happy. He did everything we asked him to do, blah, 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 blah. And nothing. And now I went to Fred and I was like, I think we might be onto something. I wonder if something changed.
Oh, it ended bad. It definitely ended bad. And maybe it started to spin with that COVID thing.
Yeah. And that also leads me to believe maybe he did ask him to be the backup. And Cam said, no, I'm not here to be a backup. Or he told him at some point we are going to transition to the kid. And then that's where Cam balked.
So there's something there. And, you know, has Newton posted anything showing love and respect for the Patriots?
No, other than just that post yesterday.
He just posted the one thing that said,
I'm okay.
I'm okay. Yeah. You know, don't worry about me. Thanks for the support. He didn't do anything. You know, usually the exiting veteran gives the Patriots a little kiss.
I'll give you a small, rather insignificant example. Adrian Colbert, you might not even be familiar with who he is.
Yeah.
He's a veteran safety, been around four or five years. He got let go and had an incredibly praiseful tweet about the Patriots organization and the opportunity to be part of it. The guy was here for 3 months. And I'm serious.
Yeah.
Like, he waxed poetic about this was different than the other NFL experiences that he's had. Nothing from the quarterback and nothing from the coach on the quarterback. I thought that was interesting.
Something happened at the end.
Oh, yeah, it ended bad.
I mean, I was sure I was going to get it from Bill, and Girardi set him up for it. Was it hard? Yes, it was hard. We all have a lot of respect for Cam. He didn't even say that. You know, he didn't give you a sentence.
He didn't rank it. He wasn't asked to rank
it. I'm not going
to
rank it. I'm not going to rank
it. If it was hard.
Like, that is completely dismissing and really putting a Heisman to the just a simple opportunity to say a nice thing about a veteran on the way out the door. Bill wouldn't do it. So I think it's entirely reasonable to expect something happened there in the interim. Let's take a few calls here for Paul Perillo. Steve in Danvers. Go ahead, Steve.
Yeah, this is the biggest Boston sports story in 20 years. And we keep dwelling on a guy who's no longer here. I think we ought to be more proactive with Mac Jones. And I'm sick of hearing about Cam Newton.
Okay.
Did you hear the first 20 minutes of the segment?
That's okay. Your comment line said Newton's release. So, I mean.
It was all about Mac Jones and our expectations and what we feel like he does well, what he might struggle with.
Justin Herbert. 66% completion, 31 touchdowns, 10 interceptions.
Yeah, those numbers were good. I looked them up last week, 31 and 10.
That one's ridiculous.
About those numbers. The completion percentage, guys are going to have gaudy numbers because there's so much short stuff that's going to get completed. That's just the way all the offenses operate now. So you're going to be 65 plus.
How about the numbers of this 2019 quarterback? 24 touchdowns, 12 interceptions.
2019?
Yeah. Would you want him to be that?
Is it Lamar Jackson?
No, that's Daniel Jones.
Daniel Ooh. Jones.
Who blows.
Well, that's kind of my point. Like, the numbers are good. Did you see?
Daniel Jones's rookie year was not that bad.
But he's not very good.
No, he's not. But again, that's a different question. The question is his rookie year. And so I don't think that's a horrible expectation for what Mac Jones could do.
24 and 12 87.7 quarterback rating, but the team went 3-9. So, like, I'm throwing the win-loss record in there, too, because that right. Giants team sucked, and they didn't have Bill Belichick. So, Mac Jones is walking into a team that was just totally rebuilt, a lot of money with the best coach of all time. They better be above 500. They better be in the playoffs, as far as I'm concerned, Paul.
Yeah, I mean, I think that those things are certainly possible. I don't know if it's a guarantee. I mean, 9 wins, 10 wins. I could definitely see that.
I mean, the idea,
I don't think that would be out of the realm. No
the way. Idea of them going 7-10 or 8-9 to me is like ultimate fail.
Oh, please!
Like when I heard you say that, I'm like, they're not going to go 7-10 or 8-9.
Well, again, right.
Not with their roster and their coach.
That was our guy Hardy who said that should be the expectation. One game better than Cam Newton.
Yeah, I don't know.
Thanks, Bill.
But yeah, I mean, my expectations really haven't changed from one quarterback to the other. But with let's just say offensively, we know they have a pretty good offensive line, right? But beyond that, I think we all have questions. And then the strength there is, the tight ends. What happens, like, just if you lose the tight end?
Okay, so this is another thing.
Like, that can significantly impact what they want to do on offense.
Absolutely, which is why I think they need another tight end on the roster. If they're going to be two tight end all the time and you only have three, yeah. Then I want a fourth. Yeah. I want now, another guy.
They did get Lacoste back on the practice squad. But, I mean, you're going to go four deep at tight end. You're not going to have all, Travis Kelce's.
You're going
four deep, I mean, like, Matt Lacoste is probably a pretty good option for a fourth tight end.
Joe's in Rhode Island for Paul Perillo. Hi, Joe.
Hello. Yeah, so I'm excited about Matt Jones being the starting quarterback, mainly because I think he takes the job seriously. I don't think Cam ever really took the job seriously, and the COVID situation just shows that, and I think it showed that to Bill as well.
Okay, I mean, I think there's some there's validity to what you just said there. What do you see intangible-wise from Mac Jones? Was that a big factor for him, Paul?
Well, I think he absolutely has a good grasp of what he's doing. He definitely showed signs of being able to execute the offense at a level higher than Cam Newton. I don't fall into the Cam Newton didn't take his job. So he's a much different kind of quarterback. He has always relied on his physical gifts. That doesn't mean he doesn't take his job seriously. And I don't know why he's chosen to not be vaccinated, but isn't that kind of a personal choice? Like, does that have to indicate that he's not interested in being a quarterback?
Yeah.
Why?
It's just, you got to do it if you want to be a reliable quarterback that's relied upon based on the rules set out by your union and your league and your employer. Yeah. It does.
So what if the backup quarterback isn't vaccinated either?
I'd say he just doesn't take his job very seriously or must not care that much about it.
Or hit the bricks. I'll find another backup.
Yeah, I mean, I think we talked about this last week. The vaccination thing, I think we're on the same side. I was vaccinated as soon as I could. My kids are vaccinated, whatever. I believe in it. But I also don't believe that everybody has to believe what I believe.
No, they don't have to.
And I don't think that one equals the other. I don't think Cam Newton's, he might have reasons. He might have valid reasons for not being vaccinated.
No, I mean, if it's medical, that's different.
That's what I'm saying. He did go through it. So there might be reasons that maybe doctors have recommended. I don't know.
I mean, if his doctor recommends that he doesn't do it, it's very simple for him to articulate that. I mean, like, that's really not a hard thing to just come out and say, that my doctor advised I shouldn't do it because of a medical condition. Like, he could do that.
Yeah, no, I understand, but maybe he doesn't feel comfortable doing that. And I just don't think that that means he's not serious about trying to play in the NFL.
I will leave that exception on the table. That's fine. He gets that exception if it exists.
Yeah, and I'm not saying it does.
But I want my quarterback to say, I will do whatever it takes to get on the field and play quarterback in the NFL. And if it means taking the doctor's advice and getting the vaccine, that's what I'm going to do because I am fully committed. I'll do whatever it takes to play football. That's what I expect, yes. I do. So, and if you're short of that, then you've got things that are ahead of your desire to play quarterback in the NFL. So maybe like taking it seriously or not, we're parsing words now, but the priority's got to be to get on the field. And if you got priorities ahead of that, then I don't know.
I said this the other day, I think the kid wanted the job more than Cam did. You can phrase it however you want. That's how I would put it. It was a competition and one guy wanted the job more than the other guy did. And to me, that was Jones and he played like it.
Here's an update from Murray. When we come back, all these other festering roster issues. So we mentioned Harry, Gilmore, who's on, who's off, all of it. We'll go through it with Paul right after the update.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger and Mass.
I'm just going to ramble and rant for 15 minutes if you let me. I'm not joking.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, Paul Perillo, other Patriots issues? Starting with the Gilmore situation, where do you think we're at? Paul, I don't know if you can hear me. Your headphones off?
No, I really can't hear you. But all right, is that better?
Yeah, can you hear me now?
Yeah, we go.
There you go. Gilmore situation. Your thoughts?
The weird part is you're sitting right.
No, I know. So I could hear him in my ears. I couldn't hear him in my headphones. That's why I knew he was talking to me. The Gilmore situation. I think it's a misstep here. I think that there was a way to get out in front of this, and I understand that the way it's been sort of described to me is. The money difference is a lot bigger than most people think. I think he's looking to get paid like the rest of the top paid cornerbacks. I go back to that tweet where he, you know, is like with the emojis there that you love so much, Mike, with the list of the top 10 paid cornerbacks, he's around 7 or 8 and those guys are up around 16 and change. And he wants to be up there. So it's not like, oh, we could give him another $3 million. I told you, I think a couple of weeks ago, like I had mentioned that to someone and they laughed at me and, you know, how cute you are. You think this could get done with $3 million. So I think that's the problem. And I don't think a big money extension was ever really in the works. I don't think Gilmore wants a big money extension from the Patriots. I think he feels he could get more on the open market. So I think the result is unfortunate because I think you're going to need him, you know, in those first six games, definitely, but even more so, I wonder what he's going to be when he comes back, you know, after not having really done anything. And I don't, from what no one wants to come out and say this, but I don't think this is much of a physical situation. I think physically, I go to that Josina Anderson thing from back in the early part of the summer or late in the spring when he said, I'll be ready if I need to be.
So when you say there's a misstep, what should have been done? I think they should have traded him last year when they had a chance.
Absolutely.
And I think that they ended up holding on to. I thought they were going to trade him at the trade deadline last year. I was pretty convinced they were. I think in retrospect, I think they probably wish they had, because I think what they ended up doing was, we'll take one more crack and we'll trade him in the offseason. Well, before they could get to that point, he got hurt. And that dramatically impacts his trade value when he blows out the quad like that. So now you go into the offseason, other teams aren't looking to give you anything. So I think if they had traded him at the trade deadline last year, I think they'd be in a much better situation. And now, if you end up having to trade him now, you don't get anything really that can help you this year, more than likely, and you don't get the player.
They asked for too much at the deadline. That's where they botched it. They asked for too much.
Yeah, they were looking probably for the two firsts that Ramsey got or Adams got and those kind of deals, and it wasn't there. N'Keal Harry.
I think Harry's going to end up on IR, and then he'll end up somewhere else. I thought that it was interesting to hear. I think it was Monday that Bill, you know, sort of laid it on, you know, pretty thick. It might have been Tuesday, but, you know, he's had a good camp. He's going to have big contributions for us this year. It's like, hey, everybody, you listening? Hey, Atlanta, anyone, you know, hello, anyone. He's had a good camp. You guys want him. He's had a good camp. I think they're going to end up trading him. I think it's, you know, kind of like, if you look at some of the stuff that Ivan Fears had talked about with Sonny Michel right before they traded him, you know, and I think it was accurate with Sonny Michel. I think he did have a good camp. N'Keal Harry, I think, it was out there every day, which was an improvement over the last 2 years. But I don't think he was overly productive in camp.
Do they have to go into the receiver market?
Yeah, I think they're going to be looking at some receivers. And I was surprised. There's been some guys, some names that were available. You know, John Brown, Smoke Brown from Buffalo. Do you remember him?
Yeah, sure. He's in Arizona, right?
Yeah. And yes, he started in Arizona. I think he went to Buffalo and wound up with the Raiders. And it didn't work out there. You know, the Raiders have a decent young receiving core. And he got cut. He asked to be released, and he was. I would take a shot with a guy like that. you know, there's some speed element there.
Yes, he's, I was just going to say, has he lost a step or no, Paul?
I mean, maybe he has. I know he had some injuries late in his Buffalo career. Maybe he's not quite the smoke that he once was, but I would take a shot there.
You got one, Murray?
No, I was going to ask, like, what do you think the return could be on N'Keal Harry, realistically, if they do trade him?
Yeah, low. Okay. Know, a conditional sixth, maybe.
The kicker. How do we end up with this
rookie
kicker?
Oh, yeah, right.
Yeah, this one surprised me as much.
Oh, my gosh,
yesterday.
Please.
You know, I call him Nuke LaLouche.
Seriously.
He's all over. I mean, he has a huge leg. But I go back to, and I like listening to Joe Murray talk about this because only Joe Murray can talk about it with the passion of someone who's been scorned by a kicker missing a field goal.
Who's lost money on him.
Correct. This is what he was at Michigan. You know, he was a very inconsistent kicker at Michigan, and that's what we saw all summer. There were periods where he was money. There was a practice in the stadium that he must have made 10 or 12 kicks, and some of them from distance. He was perfect at times, but there were other times where it was a 50% proposition. You guys got to see the games for yourselves, so that's what it was. 54-yarder, bang. 54-yarder, you know, 8 feet left. Like, there was no real, you know, in-between with him. I was a little surprised by that.
Mike, just to add, if they start losing games because of the kicker, Bill's going to look like a jackass. Seriously, he really but think of it.
How many games did Folk win for them last year? 2, 3?
So, Murray, this is sort of my point, though, that they go out and invest all this money in the roster. They get rid of Cam Newton. They're pumping up the kid. They drafted a quarterback in the first round. Then you're going to turn it over to a rookie kicker who's Nuke LaLouche out there kicking it off the Bull's head? Like, seriously.
And I think he's going to be important because I am not necessarily of the belief that offense is just going to click. I think they're going to need the kicker to finish drives for them. I think that's going to happen a lot. Rookie, what do you think he's going to do in the red zone on a consistent basis? They're going to try to run the ball. And if they can't run it in, it's going to be, you know, third and goal. From the 8. And they're
field
going to
goals.
Say, they're going to say, hey, kid, don't turn it over here. Don't turn it over. And there's going to be a lot of, you know, high outside passes where only his guy can get them in the back of the end zone. And you're going to kick a ton of field goals.
Yeah, well, when 23-20, the kicker will kick 3 field goals, assuming he can get it between the yellow poles.
They need him to make them. Now, he has talent, and there's no doubt about that. But I do think this is a calculated risk.
All right. Anything we missed? Any roster issue that you would put on your radar? Our radar?
No, I don't think so. You know, they had, you know, I think they might be still looking for some depth in the secondary, but you know, I don't know what you're going to get beyond guys like Sean Wade that they made a trade for.
Okay, long commercial-free segment is next. We'll take calls to wrap up Paul's stint. Don't go anywhere.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task. But after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Felger and Mass, number 1. Because they know how to build winning relationships.
Ooh, isn't the show so great when you're not there, Felger? Yeah, I got a ton of those. I sent those.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Good morning, Bill. Wondering how much did having those 3 days to himself for Mac Jones help him beat out Cam for that position?
Yeah, I don't know.
Thanks, Bill. So, Bill wouldn't say anything nice about Cam Newton today. He tacitly still defended him on the vaccination thing with, you know, some of his answers, but certainly not by name, and certainly didn't do the thing where Cam did everything we asked him to do. We wish him a lot of luck, and no one worked harder than Cam. I thought I was going to get that. We didn't. And furthermore, Cam has not said anything, and he is prodigious on social media, and he's done it before. He hasn't said anything nice about the Patriots on his way out the door. Leads us to believe something happened there at the end. Didn't end well.
I don't know.
Thanks, Bill. But on Mac Jones, now that was a question on Mac Jones. Did he do anything in those 3 days while Newton was out to earn your trust or win the job? Kind of an innocuous question, and Bill wouldn't even go there. Why, Paul?
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know. I don't know why he wouldn't go on it. But, you know, to me.
I'll tell you why he wouldn't go near it. Because then it's about COVID.
Oh, that's a good point.
The whole reason that Newton wasn't there was the vaccine. So that's probably why he wouldn't touch it. And look, again, I don't have a problem, and I'm sorry to jump in here, but I don't have a problem with him necessarily saying that, the Newton's unwillingness to get vaccinated was a factor in his decision. What does that then tell Mac Jones? If Cam Newton had gotten the shot, you wouldn't be the quarterback?
Right, you got the job by default.
Yeah, so, like, I don't have a problem with Bill sidestepping the question.
Yeah.
Sidestep the question, fine, no problem, happens all the time. But to then turn it into, you know, what you guys are insinuating, it's shut up. Seriously, that's a dink answer.
I didn't like the references to the vaccinated percentages and all that stuff. But I didn't look at it that way. And Tony, you're probably right about, I want to eliminate any inference that he won the job because the other guy's not vaccinated. Now, I personally think that that's true. I think Mac Jones played better than Cam Newton, and that's why he won the job. And this is why I feel, yes, I think it was a factor, but not the factor. And I know Teddy Johnson has been, really outspoken about the vaccination as being the reason. I just would ask one simple question. If Cam Newton was by far and away the better option, do you think he'd be here?
Yes.
Is Kirk Cousins, losing his job? No.
Right.
If he's the better quarterback, he'd be here.
I agree.
So to me, I can't say he lost his job because he won't get vaccinated.
Agreed.
And a lot of people on social media are insinuating that.
No. Well, so Mac Jones had to be better for the vaccination thing to matter.
Correct.
If Jones wasn't better, Bill would overlook it, as most coaches would.
That's also why I don't really think it was this, cold-blooded decision, to use Lewis Riddick's term. It wasn't nothing cold-blooded about it. You watched 3 weeks of practice and watched what everybody else saw.
Well, maybe the release is what he was saying was cold-blooded.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I think that you could make a strong argument that was the way to go.
So, look, Mike, when we say the vaccine was, not being vaccinated for Newton was a factor, at the beginning of camp when this thing started, we all said, many of us said, if Jones wins the job, it's going to have to be by knockout. Maybe it didn't have to be by knockout.
Yeah, I never felt that way.
Maybe
I felt,
if he outpointed him, it was enough.
You never felt it was a knockout, Paul?
No, I don't think it was a knockout, but I also didn't feel like it needed to be. And Mike, you said something last week that really resonated with me anyway, when you kept saying about Bill has made his career not doubling down on his mistakes.
Right.
And I 1,000% agree with that. And ultimately, he continued to do that. He didn't double down on his mistake. I was more surprised the day they re-signed Cam Newton than the day that they released him.
Agreed.
After what happened last year.
Agreed. Yep, fair enough. I agree with that, too. All right, Paul. The official DraftKings over-under for the Patriots is 9.5, over or under.
I'm going to take the over because I'm sunshine.com.
No, come on.
No, I think 10's a good number. I think 9, 10, that's right where I have been all along. I think the defense will be much, much better from a personnel standpoint.
Why isn't the win higher total with Mac over Cam Newton? Because you said it's the same as either guy.
Because I think offensively they're going to be pretty conservative either way. I think they're going to run the ball. And I think that's in essence, that keeps the score down, that keeps games close, that shortens the game. And that, again, margin for error. All it takes is a mistake or two by a young guy. And instead of winning 17-13, you lose 13-10. That's how small it can be. And I think you're going to be in a lot of the 21-17 kind of games. I think you said yesterday, you caught something that you said caught my eye. I caught my ear when I was driving home about, do you think Tua can come in here and put up 30 points? Do you think Jameis Winston can put up? No, probably not. Well, all they have to do is get to 20 and they win. I'm like, well, there's a big gap there between 30 and 20. Like, you can't lose 24-20?
Oh, yeah, they can lose a lot of games 24-20.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. But, yeah, I think 9 or 10 wins, I think Vegas has it right. I think that's right around where I would have it.
They can lose a lot of games 24-20 when the kicker's putting it in Sosie's hands.
Nine is
kicking
nine,
him into the booth.
If they're 9-8, that's not good enough.
I agree.
Not good enough.
Got to get to double digits. You guys have this all set up. I love it. I love you.
Well, I'm not setting anything up. Do you think they have it in their mind that they're that kind of team? Why spend that kind of free agent money? I mean, they spent like they want to win now.
No, but they needed to overhaul their roster. Like, I think you guys,
well, no,
you know, you guys got a little lost with your path to the playoffs last year, and
don't look at me.
Just how bad that team was last year.
I knew they sucked as early as week one.
Paul, they needed an unbelievable overhaul of talent on their roster.
And they could go at it like Jacksonville's going at it or Houston's going at it, sort of a slow build.
Oh, you mean the way the Patriots would normally do it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Because this is the way the dumb teams do it.
I'm not sure who you're being sarcastic to, so I'm a little lost now.
Teams that generally build with the overnight fix are generally stupid.
Yeah, the Jets.
Right?
Yeah.
Even Kraft said
that. Well, now it's the way they're built to win now.
No, I'm not saying it's smart. I'm telling you it shows you they want to win now is what it shows, whether it's smart or not.
I think Belichick he always wants to win. I think he definitely wants to win now. Doesn't mean it's going to happen.
Or it's the moves of a desperate man who got exposed without the quarterback that was the most important piece the last
5-15.
All of that. So, but that means they're not content with 9-8. They're not content. That's not the idea here. They're not one of these teams that are building slowly through the draft, accumulating assets, staying flexible, blah, blah, blah. They went all in to good this year.
Let me just ask you this. If you had a situation where Mac Jones showed signs of being closer to like Herbert last year and they went 9-8, would you be upset?
Yes.
No, I think that's a win.
Fail.
Even if they missed the playoffs, Paul, and he looked like
Hold
Herbert,
on.
That's
Hold
a win.
Words of Tony on. And Murray. Win. Absolutely a win if he shows that kind of promise.
And you only go 9-8? Who was Justin Herbert's coach last year?
Anthony Lynn.
If you give Justin Herbert to Bill Belichick, I'm expecting more than 9 wins. Sorry, no, fail. Fail. Oh, my God. If this kid's Justin Herbert and they only win 9 games, I'm firing Belichick.
If Mac Jones throws 31 touchdowns with 10 picks and completes 65% of his passes, they're going 13-4.
You should win the division.
Like, who? Like, but...
12-5, maybe.
All right. It's a little late, I know, but do you think that they have more talent than Buffalo?
No, probably not.
Do you think they have more talent than Cleveland?
I'm not as high on Cleveland as everybody else is.
How about Baltimore?
Probably not. But
Tennessee?
You know their roster's
Kansas
better than
City?
I do. Probably not.
But I think that if you look at it like that from a step back, you're looking at maybe they can get the 6th or 7th spot, or maybe not. You know, maybe they'll fall a little short. Like, I think that comes out to 9 wins.
I mean, you're looking at it too analytically. I'm looking at it big.
That's the best line ever.
Too many details in there, man.
No. You've got too many kings here.
Brady bent them over last year, embarrassed them. They spent $200 million, and they intend to be right back in the conversation this year, so that's what I expect. And you can take the Titans roster and do that on your own time. I'm talking talk radio, man. They better be back this year. They better.
I think it's going to be a much different season for sure and much more exciting for all of us. Believe me, we did not do well last year at sunshine.com.
Looking forward to the season, Paul.
Absolutely.
We'll see you next Wednesday.
See you, Paulie.
Okay. Here's an update from Big Jim Murray. There's two real issues on the table. How Bill handled the anti-vaxxer Bill Belichick there today, and answering the COVID vaccination questions on Cam Newton. That's one. And just your simple expectations. That's two. So your thoughts on both after Murray's 90-second update, no commercials.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.